Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the salvation you've given us, Lord, that is so free to us. And yet, Lord, it cost Christ everything. And Father, we're so grateful. And Lord, we take it for granted so many times. And help us, Lord, not to do that. Help, forgive us for that, but we do. I just pray now that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher, Lord, as we open your word, as we look at this great book of Romans. And Lord, just give us understanding. Lord, all of us. I pray that each and every one of us would be learning from these lessons in this book and growing from it and applying the scriptures that we're learning to our daily lives, not just to be hearers only, but Lord, to try to implement these principles into our lives on a daily basis. So thank you, Father, for the privilege of being here, and we just thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've told you before that I attended grief share meetings after losing Nancy. And again, I've told you, I get these daily devotions. And every now and then, I mean, they have a nugget in there. And I have, I'd like to share a nugget that I got from them. This is about a lady who lost her son to suicide, okay? And this is all about people who have lost very close, dear loved ones. And it's therapy to help people to go through the process and to be able to come out of it on the other side. And I've needed that, and it's helped me so much. But anyway, so this is about a lady that lost her son through suicide. And suicide is getting to be a bigger and bigger issue in our nation today. And anyway, Shelley lost her son through suicide. She says, "Yes, there are people we could blame. Apparently there were some people that drove him to suicide. Yes, there were some people we could blame. But the greater challenge to us as Christians was to rise up and say, we forgive. We're not going to hold them accountable in any way, shape, or form. We did whatever we had to do to align ourselves in a way that we could imagine what the Lord Jesus Christ would do. When we were willing to do that, we released healing and we released miracles." In other words, they felt that it was a miracle that they were able to forgive these people and truly forgive. It wasn't just empty words. They truly forgave. They considered that to be a miracle. Turn your thoughts on the things of God, His words, His attributes, His creation, His promises, and not turn your thoughts to blame. And Psalm 130, verse 4 says, "But there is forgiveness with thee." There's forgiveness with God. And folks, this is a thing about somebody who lost a loved one due to suicide, which is a horrible thing in their life. But again, we can take the very principles that she's talked about here and apply it to, as things come along, bad things we consider to be bad things in our lives. And again, realizing that God is big enough that whatever has happened, He's big enough He could have prevented that. And yet He chose not to. He chose us to go down that path. These are lessons I'm trying to learn. I have not arrived yet, but I'm in a refining process right along with the rest of you. But whatever happens, God, anything that happens to us has got to pass through the fingers of God, okay? Remember the book of Job. The devil's going after Job, and God says, "Okay, I'll let you have him, okay? But you can only go so far." And the devil came back to God a second time and says, "Okay, and God said, "Okay, you can do anything you want to do to Job, but you cannot take his life." And so bear in mind with these thoughts here that God has always got Satan on a leash. God can allow things in our lives that we don't like, things that are unpleasant. But realize that God allowed it to happen. He could have stopped it. And a lot of times we become bitter and angry about things, and we want revenge and this type of thing. But if somehow we can learn to instill in our hearts that God has allowed it, and also to realize, does God make any mistakes? No, He does not. So whatever happened, I mean, maybe some bad things in your past, maybe bad things are happening right now. God doesn't make any mistakes. And the Bible says He's got a purpose for it. Now, we don't have to understand what that purpose is. Our job is to trust. Our job is to say, okay, God, Your ways are higher than my ways. I don't understand it. I don't need to understand it. I accept it. But I'm not going to get mad at You. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to turn my back on You. I want to keep living for You. And if You choose to let me know the reason why in the future, fine. If You don't, fine. We don't have to know the reason. God is God, and He can do whatever He wants to do. And His ways are always right. His ways are always perfect. Now, that's easy for me to stand up here and say these words. It's another thing to live them. But we need to ask God to give us the strength, Lord, to live, you know, under these types of principles. So, okay. You know, I'm having trouble understanding Him. Can you guys, let me bring this back, because I want to hear what you got to say. Because normally when you say something, it's got an impact, a good impact.
Thank you. But suicide for the unbelievers, Jim, is I was on that side at that time I was in the service. And the main thing that what Christians need to, now they're in their lives, that we need to look at other people's. Because the main suicide for the guys that I knew was they were alone. I was. First time I came home at the Pittsburgh airport, some of you heard the story that there were like 30 people standing around. I was in my special forces uniform, and they spit on me, and they clapped. That was the first time I was back from Nam. Another, it's like I wasn't saved then, Jim, and I'm kind of holding back the tears, but when I went home, everything that I had, my mom sold. Got rid of my coin collection, everything. And then when I finally went back, I was on a suicide trip. We all were, my unit was. Ralph Thompson was one of my guys, and he went to Kansas City, and when he came home, his wife had sold everything that he had. So when the suicide as far as the military guys and even in kids' lives today and in our people, it's loneliness. And if it wasn't for this lady sitting beside me, I wouldn't be here. Because she showed me what the Lord could do. She filled that emptiness. But one thing, Jim, that in this world today is everybody feels they're alone. You know, the TVs, the phones. The only thing, like you were saying, and it is true for us too, is God's scripture and His love for us is the only way. But even today, the way things are going, and like you, we wake up every day, and what do we hear? Bad things. Our government, people. And it's a mess. And everybody, even the good Christians, we feel alone. And that's why I love this church, Jim. I love you. And a new pastor, and who you people have done, because we stick together. And that's so important. And when we see somebody that's kind of being alone, we should step out and just give them the biggest hug they ever had in their life. That's so important. And I want to thank you for your ministry. And after you had your concussion, my wife and I were sitting in the parking lot, and we saw you walk into the dentist's office with your hat on. And Joanne says, what's he doing? So, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else before we get started? Okay, thank you. Another thing, one of my hearing aids is not working. So I have one that is, one that's not. And I don't know, that's just, it makes me walk sideways. Anyway, so I'm having a horrible, and it makes it hard. It actually makes it harder to hear. I should probably just take the other one out, you know. You know, hearing aids are good when they're working, and just like a lot of things. Okay, we need to get to our lesson here. Okay, we've been talking here about the strong brother, the weak brother. Seems like it's been an eternity since I've been up here teaching. But I'm not going to back up. I'm going to keep moving forward. And by the way, we're getting close to the end of the book of Romans. We're getting close to the end. It's been an eternity since we started. But anyway, let's go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 14. And we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 9. Well, we'll read 6. We're going to start at 7, but 6 kind of helps us flow into 7. So let's go ahead and read Romans 14, 6 through 9. And who would read that for us this morning? Delbert?
He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats to the Lord, or he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us live to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whatever we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and of the living.
Okay, thank you, Delbert. All right. Now it says, for none of us liveth unto himself, and no man dieth to himself in that verse. And for none of us, folks, this is referring to believers, okay? It's not referring to the unsaved. It's saying whether we're weak or whether we're strong, we don't do what we do for our own sakes. We do what we do because we believe it pleases the Lord. That should be our attitude. And folks, everything that we do, we should be trying to please the Lord in what we do. Now, that always doesn't play out like it's supposed to. Our sinful flesh gets in the way, and we get go back to our rebellious nature that we all have. But yet, our desire is to please the Lord in what we do. Verse 8 says, for whether we live unto the Lord, whether we die, we die unto the Lord, whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Can't really add much to that, all right? Wow. To the Lord we live, to the Lord we die. We live for him, someday we're going to die for him. Whether we're weak or whether we're strong, doesn't matter, okay? Whether we're newborn Christian infants or whether we're very mature, we live for him and we die for him. That should be our attitude. The verse goes on to say, whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. We are the Lord's. Just stop and think about that. We're the Lord's. This could be the single greatest injunction to holy living in all the Bible. We are the Lord's. What a statement. If you're a Christian, do you belong to you? No, we don't. Who do we belong to? We belong to him. That should be our heart's desire, to live for him. That tells us that every Christian is involved in a situation of unconditional sovereignty. God is sovereign over us. And again, we need to realize that. He's sovereign. That should be our heart attitude. Now, again, it's not always. That should be the goal we strive for, because our sin gets in the way. Our sin nature does. We are the Lord's. We are his possession. And we can track that back to 1 Corinthians. It says, for we have been bought with a price. We are his. He owns us. And a lot of times we get the attitude in this world today, I want what I want it how I want it, I know when I want it now, you know. And it's all about me. And folks, we need to ask God to help us to live a more godly life, to try to yield to what He wants us to do. We've studied the Bible enough to kind of basically know what He wants. But now how to live that out, you know, that's tough. But it's a growing process. It's a growing process. I'm not my own, so I don't live for myself, and I don't die to myself. I'm His, so I live for Him, and I'll die for Him. And folks, just talking about dying for Him, that's beginning to become and to sound more and more real to me all the time. I think there's going to be a time here. I really believe we're headed down the point where we're going to be separating the men from the boys. And where we're going to have to, and I just ask God, I'm a weakling. I'm weak. And I say, God, I am weak. And Lord, help me to be strong. If that situation comes up, Lord, I need Your strength. I need Your help to be strong. I don't want to buckle under pressure and cave into the Satan's desires. You know, I don't want to do that. But am I capable of doing that? Absolutely. Okay? And I just need God's strength. But I think we're headed down that path. And I think we're going to have to gird up our loins and prepare and be ready. Because I think more persecution's coming in the U.S. of A. than we've ever seen before. And I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm just trying to be a realistic person. And I have a feeling probably everybody in this room right now would agree with that, that looks like the way things are going, yeah, I don't see it turning around. I mean, God could bring revival, but, you know, will He? And I think that God is punishing our nation for our sins, for our turning our back on Him. We've booted Him out of about everything there is to boot Him out of now. It keeps getting worse, and God may not choose to turn it around. He may choose not to bring revival to this nation. And so when we, as Christians, we're probably going to have to learn to stand on our own two feet and take a stand in the face of adversity. So, anyway. Verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and living. Here's the very reason. That He might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. He died to be Lord, and that's what Paul says powerfully. Through His death, resurrection, He's Lord. He's the creator of this universe. He is the Lord. Every Christian, weak and strong, again, we're dealing with weak and strong Christians and trying to bring unity among the brethren. Every Christian, weak and strong, knows who's Lord. You know, we know that in order to be saved. And conscience tells him he's doing what he's doing to please his Lord. Weak and strong together. We should know that we live to the Lord and we die to the Lord. Weak and strong. Not only the Lord of the living, but the Lord of the dead. The dead refers to saints already in glory. He's their Lord just like He is the Lord of the living. And one of these days, we're all going to stand before Him. He died to be Lord over believers still on earth. He's Lord here and He's the Lord beyond the grave. And He has dominion over all creation. He is Lord. Whether we want to accept it or not, He is Lord. Okay, we're getting ready to move on. Any questions or comments before we move on? Okay. Let's go ahead and read Romans 14, 10 through 12. John, you had your hand up a minute ago, so would you read those for us, 10 through 12?
Thou set at naught thy brother. shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God.
Okay, thank you, John. It says, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? It's a good question. I mean, and again, the thing that Paul is addressing here is unity in the church, okay? You got strong Christians, you got weak Christians. And we've already talked about how there could be friction between the two. And, you know, some regard this, some regard that, others don't regard either. It can cause friction. And Paul is trying to unite the church, to have unity in the church. And folks, that's one thing that we need to be as a church body, is we need to be united. We need to be heading the same way. And let me just say this, folks, do not be a troublemaker. Do not be stirring up friction in the church. God speaks up, He speaks strong words against those that cause division among the brethren. Don't be one of them, because God's watching. God's watching. He's got a heavy hand to give a heavy spanking. I've had some. I know. It's not fun.
Yeah, most of those men had the same share with you.
What's that?
Most of those men had the same share
as
you just said
up
there.
Man, I can't.
It's the same grace what you said. The us men and women went through the same what you're going through. When you get out of line,
I'm sorry. My hearing is really messed up today. So I've been messed up. So sorry about that. Okay. I apologize. And I think I'm just going to take these things out. I might be better off. Yeah, I'll run off and leave them. Hey, folks, I'm okay. I'm okay. I keep telling myself that. I'm okay. Okay, it says, why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? And then this, it says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Folks, that should be a motivating factor as we go through our everyday lives. Someday, we're all going to stand before Him. We're all going to give an account. We shall be judged by Jesus Christ. We are not to judge another regarding salvation. We used to hear sermons about Judgment Day. That used to be pretty common, 50 years ago. You don't hear much about that today. People don't want to hear about that anymore, nor do they want to believe that anymore. Well, I don't believe, my Bible says God's love. And a loving God is not going to send anybody to hell. That's a common thought. Folks, that's a life in the pits of hell. I mean, hell is every bit as real as heaven is. And the Bible tells the vast majority of people are going to spend eternity in hell. The Bible makes it very clear. Matthew 7:13-14. That's the narrow way, the broad way. And the majority of people are going to go to hell. But it will happen. Yeah, people don't know, do they want to believe that anymore? But it's going to happen because God says it's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, if there's no hell, then God's lied to us. And God is not a liar. Hell is as real as heaven is. There's more verses in the Bible talk about hell than there is about heaven. And the one who talked about hell more than anybody else in the Bible is Jesus Christ Himself. Hell is real. And people slough it off. And anyway. Verse 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. We've been through that many times in this class. But anyway. Philippians 2:10-11 says, we will know then, and everyone will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Here's kind of a shuddering thought. First Corinthians 4, verse 5. Who'd read that for us? Somebody different. Pastor?
Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God.
Okay, and basically in the middle of this verse, it's saying all of our secrets are going to be revealed. The hidden things of darkness is talking about the secrets that we hold. They're going to be made known. All of the secrets that we've got. Are you looking forward to that? I'm sure not. But it's going to happen. And again, bear these thoughts in mind as we're going through our daily lives. You know, that's going to be a... Anyway, when we judge people regarding salvation, we're really playing Christ, aren't we? And I guess I really believe the Bible teaches that we are not supposed to say, well, somebody's not saved. A lot of times we do. We say, well, that person's not saved. And I tell you what, it's I kind of cringe at that because we don't know. And we don't know. That's God's business. It's not ours. We're not the judge. Now, a lot of times the Bible tells we can know them by their fruits. And we can become fruit inspectors, as we call it. And we can take a look at a person's lives. And I mean, if they're just living like the devil, I mean, it's pretty evident to us that they're probably not saved, you know. And yet, to right come down and, you know, I guess I kind of cringe at the idea of just saying, you know, well, that person's not saved. They're probably not. You're probably right. But anyway, I guess I just want to err toward the side of caution and maybe tell us to do that. Because for some reason, they could be, you know, God might have saved them. And they might just be living in a spirit of, you know, rebellion against God. The Holy Spirit should be convicting them that you're not saved, you're not supposed to be doing this. But again, folks, we can quench the Spirit. And again, that is why it is so important that we try to keep a clear conscience, to keep a holy conscience. Because if we start rebelling against God time after time after time after time, it gets easier and easier and easier and easier to where all of a sudden we become insensitive to the wooing of the Holy Spirit to direct our lives, and we can go down a path and be living in a life of sin. And for all we know, that person could be saved and they could just be have the Spirit so quenched that he can't even discern what the Holy Spirit's trying to say anymore. And I don't know. That's just a that's kind of my take on things. But anyway, we're not the judge. And if we're judging, when we're judging, say that person's not saved, we're taking God's place. And that's not our place. That's God's place. And he determines whether they're saved or not. We don't know what God has done in their heart. So for what that's worth. Verse number 12. Now, if any man, I'm in 1 Corinthians. I was going to say, that doesn't sound right.
Jim?
Yes.
Before you get out of 1 Corinthians, that next chapter talks about, I think it's one person, but it doesn't matter whether it's one or more, and what they've done, and it's ungodly stuff. And it says that God may, Paul says, to deliver such an one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit may be saved. So that person they're talking about is a saved person and doing some bad stuff.
Yeah.
But it's a danger for that person because the Lord may take it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not just your opinion that it's right. You went over this experience of this, and it's a dangerous thing to be saved and get out of fellowship to that extent. And when you start getting out of fellowship, it's easy to continue down that line.
It is.
We're a wicked hearted people. So, anyway, that's it.
Yeah. Good point, John. Good point. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
On verse 11, before we move off there, I focus on some words there like shall. And shall is a legal term which means must. And when you go back to Isaiah, it also says every knee shall, which must. Doesn't, and it might be my translation, it kind of bothered me some, but in Philippians, it says should. And when I read the word should, it's you ought to do this. But I'm looking at that as a mistranslation.
Yeah.
That time is coming. The question is, should you bow, to the Lord in heaven as your Savior, or in hell as your adversary or judge? Yeah, the one being judged.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah, the Bible says every knee. So, when it says every, does that include both saved and unsaved? One day they will admit that God is Lord and Savior. They will say that. But it's too late. It's too late then. But they're going to say it. They'll realize it then. It's too late. That sounds unloving, but that's Bible. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Yes. Thinking about, I want to share 2 points. One is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. There's 2 points there. And in verse 23, there's another 2 points. The first point I want to realize relates to the people. Once you're saved, and when I was saved, I realized, one, do you not know that you are a temple of God? First thing I realized. And number two, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. The power of God now is in you.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing in the LD was in verse 23. And you, us, belong to Christ. Very important point. You should underline it. And the fourth thing I came to realize is that Christ belongs to God. So no matter what happens, once you accept Christ, you are a temple. The Spirit is in us. And we then belong to Christ. And the fourth, most important point is Christ belongs to God. And like you were saying, no matter what happens, we will be there with our Savior for eternity. Why? Because we belong to Christ. Christ belongs to God. No matter what we go through, like you were saying, Jim, always remember those two important points, and you will make
them. Mm-hmm. Very good. Good point. Good discussions this morning. I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys' input, because you fill in a lot of the cracks that I leave. And I leave a lot of cracks, so I appreciate you filling them in. Oh, my goodness. My enemy. We got 2 minutes. 1 minute. Man, I'm just getting started. Just getting on a roll here. It's amazing. Okay. I'm just going to stop because I didn't. Anyway, I just butcher up what's... get started and then have to stop. Anyway, let's just, okay, anybody else have any questions or comments? I appreciate it. And we're down to half a minute. Yes, sir.
Can I say something?
Sure. Why don't you come up here at the microphone? Because I can't hear you.
Well, personal experience. I agree with. I've been told I can be a good, but I spoke to
a big crowds. But anyway, Lord showed in my own personal relationship is people get what righteous means, but only God's eyes knows what righteous is and His glory. Everything you say or do, you be counted for on judgment. Your actions, your thoughts, your secrets, all that's going to come up about. And that's what Lord has been realizing us for ages from all of us, from all men. You know, and as far as judgment, I've been down that road. But Lord brought to my attention that we all have a purpose through Christ, what He uses for us all, including the new pastor and his wife being here. Everything is set in motion, but it's Christ's timing. And if you just, you know, I do a lot of meditating when I'm walking, or I enjoy a lot of meditating. But you can feel it from this when you're reading, because Christ can show you through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit plays a role. And it took a lot of years to get me where I'm at today, thanking the Lord for everything. And but it just got to take account on what the Lord is trying to say, if He's speaking to you. You know, and it's talking about gentle heart. That's what He has. He does care. And a lot of things has happened, but Lord knows what's going on with that. Everything's sitting in play. Everything that the pastor preached, the Lord's trying to tell us something. And these are signs. And we have to be aware of it each day to be thankful where you're at today, what He brought you today. Lord is real. It makes an impact on all of our hearts. But, everything is sitting in motion. But it's been a long time I've been sitting in front of y'all. But anyway, thank you.
Okay.
I just don't mean to take too much time.
No, appreciate your, you know, appreciate your comments. And again, my hearing is messed up bad this morning. So, okay, it's time for us to quit. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, help us to take these things more seriously. Help us, Lord, to endeavor to imply these principles, or to put these principles into our lives. And Lord, just to help us, Lord, just to strive for godly, holy living. Father, we're thankful for our new pastor. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts through the message he has for us this morning. I pray, Lord, that as we take communion, I pray, Father, that we will examine our hearts before taking it. I pray we'll confess sins that need to be confessed and ask for forgiveness before taking it. And Lord, I just pray that, again, you'll just work your will and your way through our lives. And again, Lord, I look forward with excitement as to the way you're going to move in our church, and Lord, just to use us in the future. So we just commit that into your care, and we're thankful, Father, for your love and your goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.